It is called the Collective Security Treaty Organization. The acronym is CSTO. It is little known here in the United States, but it's critical to understand the way Moscow has arranged the map of Eurasia these last years and what has happened to that map during Ukraine conflict. I welcome Ivana Strodner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing about the CSTO and the alienation from Moscow. Ivana, a very good evening to you. What is the intention, what is the mission of the Collective Security Treaty Organization headed by Moscow? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you very much for inviting me. So the Collective Security Treaty Organization, I like to call it as a mimicking, something that mimics our NATO. So it's a Russia-led treaty organization, security organization that has several members such as Armenia, Russia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan. And it was founded in 1992 after the collapse of the Soviet Union to improve actually the regional stability. That was the key role of the CSTO. But nevertheless, the CSTO has something that is called Article 4 that is similar to our Article 5 that basically claims that for an attack to a member state is an attack to all of states, and they are obliged by the treaty to help. Also, the CSTO has also a role to help with peacekeeping missions, etc., etc. So far, the CSTO has never invoked Article 4, even though countries such as, for example, Armenia asked Putin last year during the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict, when Armenia had a problem with Azerbaijan, to step up and to actually protect Armenia. And that happened in the middle of Russia's war in Ukraine. So as you can imagine, of course, that Putin was not able to send its troops and to help Armenia. Therefore, you know, that was, you know, one more, another, you know, opportunity for the CSTO not to actually, you know, act.
You note Moscow recently has announced for the second time that it intends to, or has, or will in future, or might deploy tactical nuclear weapons into Belarus. You note that event and you interpret it as a sign of weakness. Now, Belarus is part of the CSTO. It's the only part I know that has had in some way the intention to arm it with nuclear weapons. What does that mean, Ivana? Why Belarus and why now?
I mean, Belarus has always been under the umbrella of Putin. Lukashenko, you know, himself has had a very, very uncomfortable role because he never wanted to be truly aligned with the West, but also he understood, you know, by aligning with Putin would actually jeopardize, you know, his own power inside Belarus. But nevertheless, you know, there are limits that right now, you know, Belarus can impose to Russia. So I was absolutely not surprised to see that Putin actually moved and sent like tactical nukes to Belarus to continue, you know, to threaten with nukes Ukraine, but also not only Ukraine, but also even more importantly to deter the West, because by sending, you know, all those nuclear threats, as you can imagine, here people in the West, they always immediately think of Armageddon and that that will be the end of the world. And Putin is a KGB agent, you know, KGB person. He is not a military guy. He understands very well the psychology of his opponents. I was absolutely not surprised to see his move to send, to decide, you know, to send nukes to Belarus.
Does this make Lukashenko stronger or weaker in his own country?
Well, the situation, you know, with Lukashenko in his own country is it depends of course, you know, how you perceive it, because media is so controlled over there. So whatever, you know, Lukashenko says inside his country, he will be, you know, perceived as strong. But of course, you know, there are numerous rumors, you know, that he's not doing well, that he was poisoned. We don't know about all these things. And I don't like to, you know, talk about the narratives that are not certain, especially because that could be, you know, the part of Russian disinformation campaigns. But nevertheless, we should not discard the role of Belarus in this war.
You also report that the Prime Minister of Armenia, Nikol Pashinyan, is thinking about leaving CSTO.
Yes.
He's dependent. He has two military bases on his territory from Russia, correct?
So you're right that Armenia's prime minister has announced that Armenia might actually withdraw from the CSTO. And his announcement actually follows, you know, Russia's negligence of its CSTO responsibility to Armenia. Because as I just, you know, mentioned last year, Armenia requested CSTO assistance as Armenia and Azerbaijan have been engaged in a violent dispute over the contested Nagorno-Karabakh territory. And Russia's support never came. And Pashinyan, you know, he noted how due to Russia's absence, Armenia and Azerbaijan have had to seek the help of the Western institutions like the EU to come to a peace agreement. And Western aid negotiations actually have, you know, resulted basically in two countries navigating a potential agreement. And Pashinyan actually stated how, in addition to the CSTO lack of promised military support, Armenia's affiliation with the CSTO has prevented it from protecting itself. And that affiliation with the CSTO has prevented Armenia from purchasing even weapons from the West. So, you know, Russia's lack of assistance to Armenia is not surprising, because Putin views the CSTO as a one-sided way to ensure, you know, control over the post-Soviet space and advance the Kremlin's interests, not as a reciprocal institution. And indeed, you know, as Russia has exhausted its resources in Ukraine, it has neglected its duties to the CSTO members. And this has left, you know, countries previous under Putin's sphere of influence to seek cooperation, you know, with the West. So no wonder, you know, also, you know, why Russian spokesperson just recently emphasized, you know, how, you know, he claimed basically, you know, certainly we'll continue our dialogue with Armenia. But I'm absolutely not surprised, you know, why Armenia has decided they have not decided, but they claim, you know, that they might, you know, actually leave the CSTO. And Armenia is not the only country over there that is deeply dissatisfied with Russia's support.
Just 30 seconds. Kazakhstan, has it indicated it could leave CSTO? There's dispute there.
Yeah, I mean, Kazakhstan, you know, is another country that has not received a lot of support, you know, from Russia. And this is, you know, precisely why I firmly believe that this is also an opportunity for the West, after many, many years of Russia trying to show that NATO is a paper tiger, that we should actually turn the script on it and show that actually the CSTO is nothing more than a hollow shell. So that's, you know, something that I firmly believe that we should be doing.
Ivana Stradner from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, observing the CSTO.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.